Welcome to Change Surfer Radio. I'm Dr. J, and for the next half hour, I'll be your guide to a sexy high-tech vision of a radically democratic future. So keep your mind open and your radio tuned to the left. Speaking with Reggie Finley. Reggie is the producer of Infidel Guy Radio and one of the stalwarts behind Atheist Radio Network. Welcome, Reggie.
Hi.
So you are a man of the African diaspora, and it's kind of unusual to find someone of your persuasion involved in the atheist movement because it's mostly white, pasty-faced, geeky guys. So how did someone like you end up in a place like this?
Well, it's interesting. I still meet the geeky part aspect of it, but I tell you, I've been called everything from a traitor to, I mean, you name it, to the black race, because you're right. I mean, being black and not religious, something must be wrong with you, the way you're thinking. You're crazy. Jesus must save you now because you're completely lost. And every insult you can think of, I've been called that. And it's interesting. My story's pretty long, but I'll try to wrap it up as quickly as possible here. I used to actually sing gospel with a gospel group. We're actually an R&B group / gospel group. And eventually, as we got older, some of us were more serious than others, and I decided to go ahead and just leave the group because I was being pressured by my mother to do something with my life instead of trying to pursue this music thing that didn't seem to be going anywhere. So I joined the military, and I went overseas, and I continued to try to keep my religious thinking, or that is, I still believed in God. I call myself a Christian, if anyone asked. But over time, I just began to notice more and more just hypocrisy in the church, inconsistency in people's beliefs. And I just said, maybe I kind of believe, but I'm not a Christian anymore. So I later changed my dog tag to unknown. I didn't know what I was anymore.
You literally changed your dog tags.
Well, yeah, the military did. I lost a pair, actually, and they reissued me some, and those said I was unknown at the time, but my previous dog tags actually said that I was Baptist. And I was unknown, but I still believed. And long story short, I went to college, and I studied a course called Atheism. And the textbook was Atheism, The Case Against God by George H. Smith. And I couldn't believe that was a textbook, but when I think back on it, and everything that I read in that book pretty much mirrored a lot of the questions that I've had about God, but I was simply afraid to get too engrossed into those questions because all throughout my life I was told by my peers that you don't question God. I wasn't really raised in a very religious family, but I hung out with a lot of religious friends and went to churches and mosques and cathedrals, et cetera, whatever. I've been to all these various different religious places of worship, but
Where were you raised?
Atlanta, Georgia. I've been here most of my life, except for when I went to Germany. And in college and everything was a wonderful experience. I also took a course called called Old Testament Wisdom, and that was what really, really got me. And this is a book pretty much just telling you the history of the Old Testament, and here I am now reading this, and I realized that everything I thought I knew about my Bible was wrong. I didn't know anything about the history of Judaism. And, of course, subsequently, the development of Christianity. And this book taught me all of those various things. And I realized, I was even more wrong. I'm definitely not a Christian now, and I don't believe in the Bible. And I started studying other religions from there, getting involved in philosophy, and looking for audio resources online eventually when I got my computer, because I have difficulty reading, because I think I have ADD or something, I don't know. And I have difficulty reading huge volumes of books, so I started looking for audio content online, and it was very limited. I only found a couple of shows, and those that I did find, I eventually ended up asking them how did they get involved in the business, and, and here I am, 5 years later, the Infidel Guy at infidelguy.com.
Well, you've been very successful at it. Now, you were one of the organizers of the Atheist Radio Network, or are you the organizer?
Yeah, Jake and I were partners with the Atheist Radio Network, and he was actually the individual that I did contact. He had a show up. I can't remember the name of it now. It's been 5 years, but he had a program, and I listened, and his shows just weren't coming quickly enough. I wanted more, and I asked him, I said, well, I have a lot of ideas as well. How do you do this thing? Let me give it a try. And I tried it, and eventually my show became more popular than his show. And he said, he contacted me one day, and he discovered that he was listening to my show more than he was making his. So we got together, and we decided to form the Atheist Radio Network. And from there, people started contacting us to put their content on our network. And we also actively sought people to put content on our network. And it's also been going for about 4.5 years.
Well, in full disclosure, I've been at one time or another. I don't know if I'm in good stead right now because I'm so lazy about uploading my shows, but I've been a participant in the Atheist Radio Network, uploaded my shows to it, and fully supportive of it. But, you know, go back to this issue about African Americans. One of the things that that I have, as a stalwart leftist progressive type person, have thought about atheism in the past is that I fully support it. I think that we need to wage war against religion. But there is this question of these progressive pastors out there, these progressive religious movements, progressive Catholics, who participate and often have a lot of resources behind movements that I support, you know, labor movement or peace movements or whatever.
Right.
And I found it difficult to be fully honest sometimes. You know, sometimes my Unitarian side comes out, and I put on this elaborate translation filter, and when they say God, it goes beep, bloop, 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 and it comes out universal life force in my head or something, and then I'm able to sit down and actually deal with these people as if they're rational people. But in the back of my mind, really, I'm thinking, how could anybody believe this stupid nonsense?
Right, the very odd compartmentalization that people do. I haven't figured it out myself. Very much in the same way that people sin right in front of God. I've always asked that question philosophically to my religious peers. I ask them, how is it possible that you can do all this sinning in front of this absolute powerful force that's watching everything you do? And they go, well, I'm just human. I mean, it's a weird compartmentalization that people do. They can utilize, in other words, it's interesting how you'll notice that religious people can utilize critical thinking and logic when it applies to things such as maybe purchasing a car. And they'll use more criticism in that than they would the actual theology. It's a weird thing, but I guess we're all kind of guilty of it in some way, but you see it more so in religion versus real-world experience.
If people put as much energy into analyzing and understanding the history of the Bible as they do into understanding sports scores and the legacy of the different team members on their favorite team, you know, they'd all be Unitarians by now. But so the question, I think, in the context of this election is, what is the significance of a secular movement, of an atheist movement, when the religious right, which used to be split or predominantly Democratic, because both poor whites in the South and African Americans, who tended to be more religious, were pretty much solidly Democratic. And because of Nixon and Reagan and Pat Robertson and Oral Roberts and all these other people, they've moved over into the Republican camp now and are pretty solidly lining up as Republicans.
And it's very peculiar because of Christianity is in no way Democratic, in my opinion. In fact, I'm watching a video right now called Dominion, and it's from theocracywatch.org, and it's talking about Christianity's role in dominating the world, essentially, because they believe that this must be done so that Jesus can return. I mean, it's solely undemocratic to me.
Well, you got to look at the United States from the perspective of, if you were some guy who was a devout Muslim in this Middle East someplace,
right?
And you see this American president, and he says he's declared a jihad to bring American values to all these countries.
Right.
And yeah, he may have an alliance with the most theocratic of states, which is Saudi Arabia.
Right.
But basically, he's targeting all these other states and all these Islamic fundamentalist movements.
Right.
And then you see, like last week, there was a picture in the cover of our local newspaper of the troops preparing to go into Fallujah. Hundreds of U.S. troops lined up, and they're all having a prayer under this Christian chaplain. Right. How can anybody look at this around the world and think that there is not a religious dimension to this war that we're waging?
Indeed. I don't think the president realizes how dangerous that is. His simplistically, his thought is, hey, I have beliefs as well. I should be able to espouse those. which obviously gives you an idea that this guy isn't really fit for president right there if he can't represent all of the people of this country, which is what he's supposed to do.
Did you see the Daily Mirror cover? There's a British newspaper the day after the election. They said, how can 56 million people be so stupid?
Right. Right.
And that's the way the Europeans look at us.
I think someone in the UK drew a map and actually called it Jesus Land now. That's what, the United States has become Jesus Land.
Right. And the northern half was the United States of Canada.
Canada, right.
Yeah, right.
I mean, and that's so true. And that seems to be where we're going. We are becoming a theocratic nation in many ways we are. But, I mean, I'm just worried how far will they go. We think that we still have a very democratic nation. We try to think we do. We try to think we're more intelligent and more fair. But I'm really afraid of how far will the religious right and their political puppets go to ensure that the teachings of Christ are felt and heard worldwide.
Well, the Dominion, you mentioned Dominion theology in this video. I mean, that more people need to know about that, that there is a wing of the radical fundamentalist movement who do believe that
right.
they need to install a theocracy in the United States. And you can understand it theologically
yes.
if you actually believe that having laws against homosexuality and laws against abortion and laws against infidelity would save people's eternal souls.
Of course.
How could you possibly defend having a diverse and liberal society that allowed people to do whatever they wanted? You can't.
Right. Nothing that proves how dangerous dogma is. When people aren't allowed to question their own beliefs, I mean, they accept anything. And they really believe that this nation is just not ready for Christ's return. And they're going to do whatever they can to make sure that we impress God in some way. And obviously, these guys aren't thinking very philosophically when they think this. They look at God as just being some boss at a firm somewhere. They're not really thinking philosophically, well, what does this really mean? I mean, God is all-knowing, and yet he's going to be angry at things that we have done that he knew we'd do before creation. People they're just not really thinking about this. And, of course, I can see it from their eyes. If they really believe this stuff, yeah, as most religions believe, our belief is the best. This world would be a much better place if the world had shared our beliefs. So we should do what we can because we know that we're right. And that's why it's dangerous, of course.
I'm speaking with Reggie Findlay. He's the producer of Infidel Guy Radio at infidelguy.com, and he's also one of the founders of the Atheist Radio Network. Just to get back to the political significance of atheism in the current context, a lot of Democrats are soul-searching and they're thinking, maybe the problem is that we haven't been open enough to faith, maybe the Republicans are right that we project this elitist image.
Right.
And I'm thinking, no, you know, thank goodness that the religious forces of reaction and ignorance and stupidity are out of our party. And let's mm-hmm. actually organize our party, the Democratic Party, on the grounds of defense of secular, liberal, tolerant society, and let the theocrats go. I mean, there's no reason why we have to bend the knee to try to get them back.
I agree totally. And this, I'm surprised, actually, that the Democrats are fighting as well as they actually have been, because we know that even many Democrats are just as religious as even some of the right-wingers are. But
I think that raises an interesting point for us, because the majority of the country is religious, and the
right.
division isn't really between atheists, which only represent at best 10% of the population, and the non-atheists. If that's the division, we lose.
Right.
But the division is between people who believe in biblical inerrancy,
exactly.
people who are fundamentalist, and everybody else, because the rest of us don't want to live under that kind of rule.
That's right. You know, I heard the Republican Party in some places, actually many places, are actually passing out flyers saying that if Democrats win, they're going to take away your Bibles. This is pretty scary stuff. And then again, I'm still not really sure if Bush really won this election, but that's my own personal conspiracy theory, I guess.
Well, there is a call for a recount in Ohio, and, you know, if miracles can happen. I believe, even though I'm an atheist, I believe miracles can happen. So
that's right.
Well, now let's think about what the different trends are in atheism today. You've been keeping your finger on the pulse of the secular movement around the country. Do you think that secularism is growing? I mean, we know that the secular student movement's been spreading
right.
on a lot of campuses.
Right. I think worldwide, I think it is. And I think I'm beginning to see it more and more with through young people. And I think secularism is growing. I think people are learning to think a little more critically about things. I know when I first started this just 5 years ago, I could rarely find anyone who are willing to even discuss some of these issues. Now, everywhere I turn, there's someone, yeah, I'm an agnostic now, man. I don't believe that stuff either. And I believe in God, but, yeah, Christianity makes too many claims. And And it's amazing seeing this turnout. But when you see things like this election happen, you begin to question, what was I really seeing? It's actually a very confusing thing for me. I don't understand. It seems like we're growing, but I guess they're growing too. So we're constantly at odds here. But if history plays out well, we see what happened in Europe. We see that eventually people begin to see the dangers and horrors of religious dogma. And even though it's inculcated in them since birth, they somehow manage to pull away. And there are, as you know, there are some advocates who think that people like me should just leave them alone. Don't challenge them. It'll fade away. Look at what's happened in Europe. I'm not so sure that that's going to really happen here because, as you know, the United States was one of the first countries ever where anyone with a $2 prayer book could start a church. So everywhere you turn, religion is thrown in your face. It's not. It's different in other countries. Of course, the state dictates what can be built, what mosque can be built, what I forgot what to call the Catholic Church, what Catholic churches can be built, et cetera. But here, I mean, anybody can build one as long as you can pay the property tax. I mean, so you buy the land and pay the property tax, and that's it. So religion is everywhere you turn here. So
That is one of the great ironies of Europe versus the United States, is that precisely because Europe had institutionalized churches that were
right.
supported by their governments,
right.
then they didn't have to be responsive to the public, and they suppressed competition among other religions.
Exactly.
Here you had this free market of religion, and every single group, you know,
right.
your Albanian left-handed,
exactly.
you know, people who stand on their head have their own church. So
exactly, and as long as there's money to be made in it, of course, then they're going to just keep getting built. And it's really more of a business. I think there are more people in it for the business than they really are saving souls.
Well, I agree completely. I think you need to take the polling numbers with a grain of salt, though. And a group that's done some good analysis is the Council on Secular Humanism. They've published a number of polling reports over the last couple of years.
All right.
And there has been an increase in the number of people in the country who say that they don't have any religious preference.
Well, of course, compared to what I think it was like less than 1% or something.
And now it's about
10 years ago, and now it's up to 14% people claiming to be non-believers or something. So.
Exactly.
Right.
And at the other end, it is true that among those who say that they're believers, which is still the majority, that there has been an uptick in the percent who hold fundamentalist views, but that comes at the expense of the middle, not at the expense of the liberals, because their number of religious liberals has also been increasing. What's been disappearing is the squishy middle.
Right.
There aren't very many people who are still like, well, maybe I believe in the Bible, maybe I don't. You either think that the Bible is a made-up fable, but you still are willing to call yourself a Christian and believe in God, or you think that it's absolutely the truth, but the squishy middle is disappearing.
That's a very good point.
So,
that's right.
And that leads back to the culture war thing, that you know, increasingly, I would like to see the way that things shape out. I wouldn't like to fight these culture wars because I think that it's better for us to focus on the real problems in the world,
right.
which is poverty, hunger, and things like that.
Right. And indeed, the liberal theists are our allies. And I think that a lot of atheists who probably don't see the bigger political picture here, we definitely need them on our side. When the government does something that offends them, we should let them know. We should alert them. Hey, do you know that your child has to say the prayer in school, or I mean, has to pray in school, and do you know your child has to do this or that? And we had to be, you know, more fair. And it's a shame, though, but I mean, the Christian right, as you know, they really don't care about these other religions. Pat Robertson himself on television, at least, I think about 4 years ago, someone asked Pat Robertson, you know, you're talking about all this prayer in school and all this stuff, but what about the Hindus? What about the Muslims? What about all these other religions? And Pat, right there on national television, said,
they're false religions.
Huh?
So he said they're false religions.
They're false religions, and basically, and who cares about them? This is a Christian nation.
Well,
and that's very. Does
but you
that
see,
not
but
tell
see,
you the tale. I mean, how can they? How can people who love Christ and believe that Christ is love, not respect and appreciate people who are still trying to find God in their own way?
But see, that shows how wily the religious right is, because the number of religious right leaders are so Machiavellian in their perspective that they're willing to set aside all of their doctrinal reservations. Protestants about working with Catholics, who they used to think were the minions of the Antichrist.
Still do a lot of them.
Catholics working with conservative Jews, who they used to think were Christ killers, or still do think are Christ killers.
Right.
But all of the leaders of the religious right are willing to set aside those theological reservations in order to elect someone like Bush, in order to support this war, in order to support school vouchers or whatever. And we need to, on the progressive, the liberal, the secular oriented side, we need to have that same kind of Machiavellian tolerance of any allies that we can get. And that's
right.
just what you said. You know, if it's a minister who's pro-choice, he's our ally. It doesn't make any difference if he still believes in these weird set of beliefs.
Exactly, no doubt about it. I think they will help us change things. And as you know, there's this big issue happening in schools all around the country with evolution, people trying to change. I mean, as you know, this is all part of the old Wedge Project, trying to sneak creation, or shall I say intelligent design, in the school system. And, of course, it's just a stone throw away after that. Once you manage to have people doubt evolution and throw in intelligent design, well, now you're just a stone throw away from saying, well, and Yahweh was that designer. And that really scares me, and it's amazing that even liberal Christians are sitting back and allowing this. And they think it somehow benefits them, I guess, because they are Christians too, and they feel like they must identify with Christians. And as you know, there are so many people who voted for Bush just because, well, they think he's a good Christian man, and God put him in that position.
I'm speaking with Reggie Findlay. This is Dr. J on Change Surfer Radio. Reggie's the founder of Infidel Guy Radio at infidelguy.com. On that point that people vote for these symbols, I recently wrote an essay for betterhumans.com on engineering better citizens, and I suggested that when we all get smarter with the new wave of technologies that are coming,
right,
that people be able to make more informed political choices. And one of the consequences of our current limitations of our intellect is that people don't have the time, the energy, and the processing power to gather enough information to make choices. And so they make choices on these vague symbols, like he's a veteran, he's a Christian,
right,
things like that. Well, you know, what does it mean to say that he's a Christian, that he supports values, when he's surrounded by thieves, he lied to us to get us into a war,
right,
you know, he lies about his past and how he's a man of the people, when actually he's the scion of a Connecticut Yankee
That's right.
family.
He even lied to his own conservative that he was a conservative.
Right, exactly. Now, you know, the only thing that he's honest about, I think, is that he's simple-minded. That's probably for true. But
That's true.
Yeah. Now, so I think that one of the things that we have to get to is people actually making decisions on the basis of real information and not these vague symbols.
And that's what the purpose of fear is in any system. I think, as we saw, that was the whole purpose of the whole line of the Bush campaign. That's the whole theme was fear, essentially. You'll be safer with us. We got to stomp out terrorism. And, of course, the Republicans went a little further about how, like I said, there are some states reporting that there are flyers being passed out. It could have been by church leaders, but allegedly it chases back to a few Republican parties here, groups. But that they can take away your Bibles and stuff like that. So you make people afraid. They're going to do pretty much what you want to do. And we see the same thing happen with in the political structure. And that's how they got all these people, I think, to vote, by making them feel like they will be safer with Bush. And he's right. And they don't take the time to analyze it, to really look at, what has his fruits, what have they grown, bear to us? Nothing. They need to look at what he's done instead of what he says. And that's something my mom taught me when I was 15 years old. She's always look at what people do and not what they say.
Now, you served overseas in Germany, and you know that the Europeans find it inconceivable how religious we are and how we elect these religious leaders.
Yes.
But there are Europeans like Tony Blair who back our war against Islam because they think that the Islamic fundamentalist movement, the Islamofascists out there, are a bigger threat to the world than any of the religious fundamentalism in the United States. And certainly it's less conceivable that we would end up with a Taliban-type society in the United States.
You think.
You hope. and that the Christian fundamentalists here probably would never get that far, as they have already gotten that far in places
right,
like Afghanistan. So when you look internationally, you personally, someone who's traveled the world and who's done military service, do you think that we secularists in the United States should have a more international perspective on the threats to secularism and should be backing, in some way and shape and form, a global campaign against Islamofascism?
Ooh, complicated question. Oh, man, because I guess it's a difficult question to answer for me being in a Christian nation here, quote, Christian nation. I mean, no doubt about it. All religion, of course, is dogmatic religion that justifies harm to people is dangerous, and I think the U.S. does it as well. And I think that is exactly why Bush wants to pull away from the international effort, because he knows that we'll be just as heavily criticized as we criticize the Islamic countries. You know, I don't think there's a really simple answer for it. I know that we definitely need to, I don't think war was a way of doing it, though, myself. I think we could have found other ways. If we're going to be covert about it, let's talk about covert ops here. We could have simply maybe subverted the education system in some way, give them things that educate them about things they probably didn't know about the world and about science.
Well, that's what Saudi Arabia was doing, wasn't it? Saudi Arabia was underwriting Islamo-fascist education all throughout the Middle East.
I think that's one method. It's going to take time. Obviously, war would take just as much time, so why not simply try to find ways to enhance their education, because the more they learn, the more liberal they'll be. And I always seem to notice that comparison, as you have as well. It seems that the more information a country has, people have, the less dogma they carry with them. And I think that might be one way to help do that. But we also have to acknowledge the terrorists that we have here at home. Notice that Christians seem to overlook the terrorists that we have right here. Timothy McVeigh was a Christian. And so we do
abortion
see a
doctor killers.
Danger happening here.
Yeah, the people who kill abortion doctors. I mean,
right.
It's mind-boggling to me that, you know, we focus all this energy on terrorism when we have a movement in the United States that openly says that abortion is a mass Nazi death camp genocide against babies all over the country. And that
right.
means that it's morally acceptable for them to go and shoot abortion doctors.
Exactly.
And then you scratch them and you say, oh, I never said you should shoot abortion doctors. I'm just pro-life. I don't think you should shoot abortion doctors. Are you a pacifist? No, I'm not a pacifist. Well, why shouldn't you shoot abortion doctors? Well, because that would annoy people and then they wouldn't be pro-life. Well, so basically you're for shooting abortion doctors, but you just don't think we should shoot them openly because that might annoy people.
A very interesting thing I've noticed, too, among a lot of Christian fundamentalists especially, is that they claim to be pro-life, but yet they're pro-death penalty.
Exactly.
I've always noticed, which one is it? Are you really pro-life, or is it a particular type of life? I mean, what are you really saying? Let's get into specifics here. And that's what we need to bring up. I think in educating our own people and our own society, as well as abroad, is going to help us bring this world to a new era where we can all share and learn from each other and... I don't know if we can create a utopia here, but I think that's what it's all about, is sharing information and learning from each other. And if we're not willing to do that, then, well, 4 more years, I guess. You see, we have to work with now.
I've been speaking with Reggie Finley. He's a radio producer, produces Infidel Guy Radio at infidelguy.com. And you can download his shows, and he has a wonderful, lively website there and a chat room and all kinds of things. Reggie, give us a final thought here. How can people support the secular movement in the short term besides logging on to Atheist Radio Network and supporting the work that you're doing?
Well, of course, speaking out and speaking to their political representatives and whatnot, letting them know about the problems they have, of course, contacting media outlets and trying to get published in various media outlets around the country as well, and just educating people, become educators, talk to people. Every single person you affect can affect someone else, and I know that that's been the success of what I do. I affect people on an individual level, and they go out and affect others, and that seems to be pretty powerful. And I think the younger generation, I'm hoping that they'll be a lot more intelligent than we were 10, 20 years ago. Maybe we can finally truly become an intelligent democracy that cares and about humanity as a whole and make this world a better place. And that's all I'm hoping for, and that's what I'm doing, and I'm hoping other people do the same. And also not to attack and just try to destroy other people's belief systems, but ask them questions about their belief systems. And I think that's what more of us need to do about anything, whether it be political, religious. We need to question why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. And in doing so, I think we can find out more about this world and ourselves. And we can, like I said before, make this world a better place.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Reggie.
No problem. Thank you.
You've been listening to Change Surfer Radio. Change Surfer Radio is produced at WHUS Stores at the University of Connecticut. If you want to learn more about democratic transhumanism, or you want to share your thoughts with me, Dr. J, you can contact me at jhughes@changesurfer.com. That's jhughes@changesurfer.com. Or you can read my Change Surfing columns at betterhumans.com or check out the collaborative Cyborg Democracy blog I participate in at cyborgdemocracy.net. Or you can read my new book, Citizen Cyborg. For more details about Citizen Cyborg, visit cyborgdemocracy.net. At the Change Surfer website, you can find past and future shows archived in streaming MP3, thanks to the AInfos radio project. So educate, agitate, and organize, and I hope to meet you in a sexy, high-tech, and yet radically democratic future.